First case up this morning is 70445, Allen Management et al. Versus Bank of New York Mellon Trust. Counsel for the appellants, you ready to proceed this morning?
Yes, Your Honor.
And if you wish to reserve any time.
Yes, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes.
Please.
Justices, and may it please the court. My name is Kerry Fawn, and I represent LN Management LLC Series 5984 Lingering Breeze, the purchaser of an HOA foreclosure sale. Let me begin by saying, failure to mail a notice of default to one person does not a summary judgment make when there is a material question of fact concerning the actual notice, as well as the party lacking notice, approximately caused the issue by failing to give an address for notice, as Bank of New York has done in this case.
Let me understand it correctly, Mr. Ron. In the original, there was Bank of New York Mellon received an assignment of beneficial interest in the deed of trust, and you're saying there was no address set forth as part of the assignment for them to notice?
That is correct, Your Honor. In the first assignment, which is in the record at 1 PA42, they do not provide an address for notices to be sent to. They subsequently corrected that in their corrective assignment, which was recorded 11 months after the sale.
Okay.
Today I'll be addressing 2 points on why this court should reverse lower court's grant of summary judgment in favor of the bank.
Are you asking for an outright reversal and summary judgment in your favor, or are you asking for us to reverse and remand on the grounds there's issues of fact?
I'm asking for the court to reverse and remand on the grounds that there's issues of fact.
Okay.
The first issue is whether the district court erred when in granting that motion for summary judgment in favor of the bank, based solely on the issue of failure to directly mail the notice of default and intent to sell to the Bank of New York. And second, whether the district court erroneously voided the sale. As to the first point, while the bank would like this court to affirm the lower court's grant of summary judgment, the facts do not support that. In this case, the bank alleged that the notice of default was not directly mailed to them, but never submitted admissible evidence by affidavit alleging Bank of New York never had notice of the foreclosure proceedings. Bank of New York's failure to directly receive a copy of the notice of default election to sell, which was recorded January 14th of 2013, as I've already pointed out, was caused by their own failure to list an address in their assignment of the deed.
Was that particular salient fact pointed out to the district court, and what was the district court response as to lack of an address?
Yeah, it was pointed out, and obviously, it would seem to me that their reaction and their decision points out what they thought of that single point in granting the verdict, because they granted on the sole issue that Bank of New York had not been mailed directly, the NOD.
The deed of trust.
The notice of default.
Yeah.
Well, didn't Bank of New York get the notice of sale, the notice of... So what about that? Tell me what, because it's kind of a confusing case with these notices. If they got the notice of sale, first of all, did they, or we'll see if that's disputed, and how did they get it without the address? You know, how did that happen?
What happened was the trustee, the HOA trustee, mailed to all addresses known at the time.
Okay.
They mailed to the predecessor in interest, including Indicon, who recorded the first assignment for Bank of New York. And they also mailed to the Castle Law Group, who was the party that recorded the second and corrective assignment of deed. So that it was noticed to parties that the assumption...
I thought you said the corrective deed came after the sale.
It did, but they were listed prior to...
Oh, they were listed on the assignment originally?
They were listed... In the list of parties that had requested, I believe in this case they were the trustee at the time for the bank.
Okay.
So I apologize.
Yeah.
So It was, the assumption was it was noticed to parties that should, you know, get the notice, which they did. And as to the notice of sale, the trustee, still having no actual address, out of an abundance of caution, mailed a notice to One Wall Street in New York, which was Bank of New York's headquarters. The bank at this time, and during the summary judgment, and in the order, admits that they did receive notice of the sale, and they did nothing.
Okay, well, the notice of the sale, what's it give? Is it 21 days it gives notice? It has to give at least 21 days?
At least 21 days, yes.
What was the number of days between the notice and the sale? Was it as close to 21, or was sometimes they put them out 3 months?
It was close to about 30 days.
Okay.
So that was mailed to them as well. Again, going back.
Not as well. That was what was mailed to them.
That was. Yeah. Yes, sir. Going back, the statute was substantially complied. Notices were sent to all recorded parties, including the predecessors in interest, because there was no address, and it was also complied with in the fact that it was mailed to Bank of New York, and they had notice of the foreclosure sale as a result.
I don't think that you could just not mail the notice of default. I mean, I think what's important here is the fact that their assignment didn't have the information that would facilitate mailing to them. But I mean, if you do a notice of default and election to sell, and you simply don't notice the first deed of trust holder, and then you proceed with a notice of sale, even under Turner and Schleining, I'm not sure that would be substantial compliance. Is that your legal position, that that's substantial compliance?
No, the fact that they did not provide an address, but it was noticed to all recorded interest, even the predecessors in interest, there was the fact that they didn't get direct notice is a result of their own failure to give an address.
So if you were to be me and you were writing an opinion that you win, you would want to be saying the narrow grounds for what you're urging here is that when an assignee of a deed of trust doesn't provide the mailing address, the failure to mail the notice of default and election to sell does not invalidate the sale necessarily, especially whereas here they received actual notice of the sale itself as opposed to the notice of default.
That is correct.
But you're not asking for the broad proposition that failure to send a notice of default and election to sell can just be blown off and it's substantial compliance as long as you sent the notice of sale.
Absolutely not.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that. The one proposition is closer. The other one is pretty aggressive.
Yeah. We're not saying that failure to send a notice of default is substantial compliance.
Okay.
In this case, given the failure of the bank to provide an address, the trustee served the people that they had notice of.
And we don't know, right, as I understand it, the summary judgment practice in this case didn't even say whether, as a matter of fact, the Bank of New York had no notice of the default, or what's the record on that?
That is correct. There's no denial of actual notice by...
Did your client concede in district court that they did not get notice of the notice of default?
No, we did not.
Okay.
There is no actual, and we've laid that in our brief, there is no actual denial of actual notice.
Right, but I thought I saw that your client conceded that the notice of default wasn't received by Bank of New York. You may have conceded you didn't mail it to them, but...
I believe that
they may have come by notice some other way, and we just don't know the record.
There was broad language used in the order. Plaintiff nevertheless admits that the HOA, through its trustee, Red Rock Financial Service, did not serve the notice of default on BNY Mellon.
We did not direct the mail. That's correct.
But you don't know whether or not they came by notice via some other means.
Correct.
And their predecessor...
Correct, and that was the assumption, is that you mailed to the predecessor in interest, especially the party that recorded their assignment of deed and failed to put an address, that they would forward that on to Bank of New York. And Bank of New York never never comes out and denies that there was no...
So to be clear, there is a concession, the notice wasn't mailed to them, but there is not a concession, and we don't know whether or not somehow they came by that notice of default via some other means.
Correct. There is concession that, based on the record, there was no direct mailing, but with the caveat that there couldn't have been a direct mailing to them because they failed to provide an address. And there is no denial by the bank that they didn't have actual notice of the notice of default. They only focused on the record that it hadn't been mailed directly to them.
Okay. So what was the evidence in support of the motion for summary judgment? The notices?
The mailings from United Legal Service or Red Rock, and there was no affidavit.
So were these documents authenticated or certified?
They were what was produced. There wasn't a question of authenticity. They were produced.
Okay, but we have no affidavit in support of the motion for summary judgment.
There was no affidavit regarding the point of that they had not been on notice.
Thank you.
So, given the time frame at this point, I will leave it at Your Honor's. Seem to understand where we're going with it as far as the notice. Moving on to the next point, which is the voiding of the entire sale. That is not what was requested here. The lower court in its order violated...
They concede that as to the homeowner, right?
Well, that's the issue is the court had already granted quiet title in my client's name as to the prior homeowner and found no defect in the sale, and therefore... The sale was proper. To void the sale was an abuse of discretion. Voiding the entire sale because of a lack of notice to one party was an abuse of discretion to the district court after the district court found and entered judgment against the prior homeowners and finding no defect in the foreclosure as it related to them. Lack of notice to one party does not make a sale void ab initio to all interested parties. In Shadwood Homeowners Association versus New York Community Bank Corp, 132 Nevada Advanced Opinion 5, January 2016, the court held that equitable relief must not be granted to the possible detriment of the innocent third party. What they did here was they ignored everything that had taken place over the 3 years my client had the property and did not place them back in the pre-foreclosure position.
You're shade under your 3 minutes at this point.
I understand. With that, Your Honor, I would ask that you reverse and remand back to the trial court.
On behalf of the appellant.
Good morning, Justice Douglas, Justice Gibbons. My name is Chris Connell. I'm here on behalf of Bank of New York Mellon as trustee. What's interesting is what we've heard today and what you all seem to have a very clear grasp on is that there was no mailing of a notice of default to a prior recorded first deed trust holder. NRS 107.090 guarantees that all persons of interest are to be mailed a notice. That's a statutory requirement.
But what is one to do when we have a party that doesn't provide the appropriate mailing address for them to receive notice?
That's an interesting question. And so, what's interesting about this case, to get to that point, is that there was two trustees. There was two HOA trustees in this matter, which wasn't mentioned before. The first one was Red Rock Financial Services. The second was United Legal Services. And the notice of sale was sent by United Legal Services to Bank of New York Mellon without issue. Obviously, they're a company. Red Rock Financial has mailed hundreds, if not thousands, of notices to Bank of New York Mellon as trustee. It's an active, party in several of these cases. United Legal Service had zero difficulty finding and serving Bank of New York Mellon as trustee. It was 21 days, including weekend.
Let's back up. I don't want to glance over this fact, but we start with the notice of default and then looking at what's in the record, and the record indicating, at least the record we have, and you can correct us if we're wrong, there's no proper information as to where that should be mailed to. So how should we look at that? We realize later in the process as to sale the appropriate notice was mailed to the right place. But we have this first. So it's the bank's position that they were prejudiced or what? Because they are kind of complicit in this problem that we have here. So what should we be doing? How did you interpret it?
Well, I interpreted it as this. Bank of New York Mellon as trustee didn't record the assignment. So I'm not saying that that obviates any need, but the party of interest is recorded. It maybe have been more convenient to find it, but that's not what due process, and that's not what process of law relies on, the convenience of process service. They knew who the proper party was, and as yourself, Justice Gibbons, and Justice Douglas recognized in Schindler, the failure to take the very simple step in itself is not substantial compliance.
Well, unfortunately, we were in a dissent on that case. I said the majority controls, so the law is substantial compliance. Maybe not unfortunately, I'm just the way it's
But that said, what I'm raising is not that the issue, because if you find substantial compliance, that's the holding of the matter. But to your point, what you addressed in the dissent was that failure to do anything itself. See, in that case, at least there was some level of understanding. The person admit that there was actual notice. There's all these issues, right? Whereas here, we have an affidavit from Red Rock Financial Service that says, no, we didn't mail that to the first, and here's possibly a reason why Red Rock Financial Service didn't, because we were a first deed of trust holder, and maybe they thought it didn't affect us. And that's an issue where, so if you don't mail notice to somebody, you say, hey, they're not even a party to what we're about to do here. That's a great reason why, but the fact is they don't even dispute that they didn't sell. Their reasoning for doing it.
But Mr. Collin, it sounds to me like there could be some genuine issues of material fact regarding this notice that, as your opposing counsel said, I mean, there's a question of who got what, when, you know, you got the notice, your client got the notice of sale, but not the notice of default. It sounds a little murky here. Tell me why you don't think there's any genuine issues of material fact and we should affirm this ruling.
Well, procedurally, this matter had co-discovered. There was no 56F relief. There was no depositions. There was no providing any evidence to rebut our Exhibit 8 and our motion for summary judgment. We said, here's the affidavit from Julie Thompson at Red Rock Financial Service, and she says, here's who we mailed it to. Absent from that is Bank of New York Mellon as trustee in any possible iteration. There's sent to prior record holders, but that's irrelevant. We were recorded on August in 2012. The notice of default.
Why did your client file a corrected assignment if indeed the original assignment was good enough?
That was a year later, and that was by Cooper Castle Law Firm.
That's not an answer, though.
I believe they have that one as coming from MERS as well. Now, the way they did it doesn't preclude the prior recording of that first assignment from not giving notice of who the property
is. I understand, but it looks like an admission that there was something faulty with the original. Usually when you file something that's corrected, it means there was a mistake that needs correction.
In those circumstances, and I'm trying not to get loose, I understand what you're saying, that's not this case. I believe that one had a different assignment from MERS and there was different parties. So the reasoning as to why Cooper Castle reported it is, in my opinion, tangential to the original thing that the first assignment had the proper parties. It said, here's Bank of New York Mellon, we're putting ourselves on record notice, our name is there, and United Legal Service had absolutely no problem finding it. They sent the mailing, went to sale 21 days later. So, in one hand, you have a HOA trustee, United Legal Service, that takes the proper steps and is completely unencumbered from doing the right thing. On the first hand, the issue that surrounds this matter is that notice of default never gave us our 90 days to cure, noticed that there was a problem with the property, and completely prejudiced us. So, what happened was, they got
a... Receiving the 21-day notice of sale, was anything done to... does the record show that Bank of New York did anything in an effort to stave off the imminent sale?
No, I don't believe that. I don't know that by the time that notice of mailing was filed that they would have had their internal protocol and procedures enough time to correct any problem with it.
Right.
So that sale would have already been...
So the record doesn't show that they said, hey, wait a minute, we never got the notice of default. What's this? We need extra time.
No, and in several of these situations, if you get a notice of sale... we didn't get a notice of default by the time your internal procedure. That's why these safeguards are built into 107, is to give proper time and notice, especially large financial institutions, to be able to do proper diligence to find out information about
the property. Is there any statutory requirement as to what information an assignment must include? In other words, did your assignment comply with statute?
Yes.
The original recorded one?
Yes, it gave proper notice, and it illustrated under NRS 107090 who the proper parties of interest were that had interest in those to be noticed.
Suppose it was just listed your name, you individually, with no address.
Right.
And let's say you're not on Google and not on Facebook and we can't find you. How would this case come out in that event?
That's a very interesting question. What happens in situations where we can't find a party is typically there's other safeguards built in. Civilly, as an individual, you'll file a notice of publication. There's other ways to take some step further than that alluded step prior in Schindler of doing absolutely nothing. So they didn't say that, yeah, but we tried to mail it to them. We tried to do one thing further than what they had done. They hadn't done anything. There's literally a zero effort event here. And once again, we have two trustees. So we know that Red Rock didn't do what they were statutorily mandated to do. We know for a fact that ULS did.
Well, what was Red Rock statutorily mandated to do? To mail the notice, right?
To mail the notice.
But my point was, if the assignee who records the assignment doesn't give any information about how you find them, and let's say it's not a public entity, it's, you know, and I'm not sure mailing something to One Wall Street is going to get it to the right department.
It
goes through to the notice of sale and so forth. Could you just like hide your foxhole and then you would never have a foreclosure against you?
Absolutely not, Your Honor.
Okay, so how does that work? How does the law deal with that?
Well, I think in that example, if there's frustration and possibility. These are all canons sort of built into the law.
Yeah. Right?
So when we look at the statute, we say what would frustrate its purpose? What creates absurd results? If we don't have to do the very simple initial first step as mailing a notice of default to the first beneficiary, then we're creating potential for abuse, huge amounts of...
But what if the first beneficiary, you don't know what their address is, and they didn't put it in, and they're not a... What happens then?
Well, I believe that I think an appropriate step would say, hey, we tried noticing by publication something. Here,
and is there a statutory mandate? Does the statutory scheme address what the foreclosing party is supposed to do in that instance?
Not in that instance, and that's where it says, and that's where it behooves these large financial institutions to let you know who they are by putting their name on the assignment. In that instance, it says all people with a reported interest. Now, if it said Mr. X, I believe that would come down to some type of frustration or possibility. But even then you said, well, we Googled Mr. X, we couldn't find anything. There would be something in the affidavit. Red Rock provided everything it had, and it shows that nothing was done, which completely...
Do you have any case that, from anywhere, that specifically addresses an unknown address for an assignee in this context?
Well, no, not in this...
Because I didn't see any in your briefs. I mean, it's like we can go look at this. He cites Turner and Shining, and they're pretty close. But to me, this can't be an unknown that you have a situation where you do a notice of default and election to sell and the address is not on the assignment. So you go through to the notice of sale and they get the notice. I mean, there should be some cases out there on that. I didn't see any in your brief.
And Your Honor, I would say that cases like Schindler and Turner have to do with doing something and giving notice to a party of interest that's related.
But do you have any law that says that? Do you have any law that says this is invalid per se when somebody doesn't notice a default and fails to mail it because they say the assignment gave no information on the address?
Well, Nevada Land...
Even for the proposition that you have a due diligence obligation
right.
to go look for them.
Right. Well, Nevada Land and Mining Co. Versus Hidden Wells Ranch, 435 P. Second, 198, 200, Nevada 167, states that...
Can you give the site again?
Yes. 435 P2D 198 stands for the premise that failure to abide by the statute creates a void sale. Now, in that we can extrapolate and say They had all the information. This isn't hypothetical. We know for a fact that the trustee could in fact find out who the appropriate party was, and they did. This wasn't a matter in the ether that was lingering. Who are these people? It doesn't even need to go to that level, because we're at a point where we knew who the parties were. They were prior parties of interest of Red Rock Financial Services. United Legal Services sent the proper notices. And here's the other point to...
Well, so are there cases out there that say where it's discoverable and you fail to do it, the failure is on you and not on the foreclosed party?
Well, I believe that...
Are there cases like that?
Not to my knowledge, Your Honor, but I believe that cases such as Shadowwood and SFR say a properly conducted foreclosure set, and through that we can extrapolate. We don't need
right, but they say that 107090 applies, and 107090 is a very conventional foreclosure statute. And I'm asking, right, is there law that says where who's responsible here when the notice of default doesn't get mailed because they say you didn't put the address, and you say any normal person could have found the address had they given any effort? Is there law on that?
Right, and I don't believe that this court has directly addressed that.
Not this court, but law nationally. Is there any law anywhere on that?
There's several cases that discuss the impropriety of a sale or the failure to take a certain step in a sale, which I believe is the case here. And I think the analysis, that's where it can sort of stop. And you say you failed.
Okay, which cases are those?
If you take a look at Deep v. Rose, 364 SE 2nd, 228,
232. Thanks.
Thank you. And this premise is, you can piggyback this concept onto several different things. Well, I didn't know who Bob Johnson was, so I just dropped the subpoena off at the grocery store, and, you know, I'm sure... Their actual brief states this. Well, I'm sure somebody gave it to them. And that's not a standard. There's no presumption that they have. Presumption is a substitute for evidence. And here, you don't get to presume that other parties are taking action, especially if they affect your rights and interests and property.
Well, let me ask you this, Mr. Connell. Do you agree that under Schleining, the majority and Schleining, that the standard is substantial compliance versus strict compliance? In this particular case,
if there was evidence that said they called us up and said, "Hey, we got the notice of default," but no evidence was presented.
Well, I understand that, but is the standard when we write a decision, whatever we do with it, do you agree it's substantial compliance is the standard, and then we interpret substantial compliance?
Yes, that is the standard in Schleining. But that specifically addresses something different. And once again, I'd like to say that the concept of doing nothing well. They didn't have an address. We don't live in a day and age of traveling thousands of miles across lands to do proper service.
Let me ask you this. On the sold out junior lien holder statute that says if you want notice of a default and election to sell from a senior, you have to record a request for it. And that statute says you have to put in the way where you can be reached, right?
Right.
So your assignment would not have satisfied that statute.
Well, in this case, especially since that it wasn't mailed to us, Red Rock obviously, by its actions, didn't have any interest in even including us in the sale.
No, I understand. Listen to the question for just a moment. I was trying to pull it up on Westlawn. I didn't get a chance. But there's a statute in Chapter 107 that says if you're a junior deed of trust holder and you want notice from the senior deed of trust holder that you're about to be foreclosed out, you need to file a request for notice, right?
Yes, but in this matter,
follow my question for a moment. Doesn't that statute specify that you have to provide your contact information in that request for notice? Does it or doesn't it?
For a junior lien holder?
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you do not, they can foreclose you out without notice, right?
I believe that 107090 makes it clear that there needs to be an attempt to abide by the statute and to give notice to those of interest. If you've made it impossible to be contacted, then you know I believe that the court would have the ability to say, well, there was no way to find out who you were. But in this case, we were a senior deed of trust holder. So that became a different situation based on SFR and its progeny. However, once we were not noticed the notice of default, then it, obviously we weren't being noticed because it was for a sale that didn't affect us.
Right, but would your assignment have qualified under the statute that allows people who wouldn't otherwise get notice to request and receive notice? Was your assignment contain enough information for that?
I believe it would have enough information to let the world know who proper notice was going to be given to.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Council, you have 232.
Your Honor, I'm from New York, so I can talk fast if I need to. Your Honor, I'd like to cover a couple of quick points here. The first being, in Turner, the court with Turner v. Depot Services, 87 Nevada 14, 479 Pacific 2nd, 462, the court held that there was no breach of duty when notices are sent to addresses known by the party, which happened in this. The addresses that were known were sent. Furthermore, they said when a party...
Yeah, but at least they tried in Turner, and his point is you didn't even try.
They did. They mailed to every address that they that was on record.
Right, but in Turner, they at least sent it to the last known address, which was some hotel or something. And in this case, his point is you didn't even mail it to Bank of New York, USA, North Pole.
Understood. You know. Understood. But I think that in this case, that they did take steps. The assumption is they did nothing. They took steps that they thought were reasonable in this case. And also, Turner said, when a party has actual notice, there is no prejudice when a statutory notice is not received by mail. Bank of New York had actual notice of the foreclosure sale in this case.
That was the notice of sale, the 21-day notice, not the original notice of default.
Correct, but...
And I think his point was that in 21 days through the bureaucracy of the bank and processing, it's really impossible to formulate a response. You know, that's why you have the 90 days and the 21 days.
But even with that, Your Honor, they can't fail to provide an address. And in this case... Justice Pickering, I think you hit on it. In an NRS 116 sale, if it's a super priority sale, they are a junior lien holder.
Yeah.
So that would apply. They need to provide an address, and they didn't do that. And just to touch really quickly as to our point about abuse of discretion and voiding the sale completely. An abuse of discretion occurs whenever a court fails to give due consideration to the issues at hand. That came from State v. 8th Judicial District, 127 Nevada, Advance Opinion 84, 267 Pacific 3rd, 777. The court failed to make an adequate inquiry and due notice and give consideration to the prejudice to LN Management by voiding the sale and failing to restore it to its pre-sale position, the effect of its ruling would have on the prior award acquired title in LN Management's favor against the homeowner, the effect on third parties not present, being the HOA and the trustee, because they, in doing that, they deemed it a wrongful sale, and the fact of a limited prayer for relief that was prayed for in the counterclaim. With that, Your Honors, I would ask, again, that you reverse remand based on the pleadings.